2 Corinthians 12, verse number 7 through verse number 10. Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan." The word messenger is the same Greek word translated angel throughout the whole New Testament. It's not an angel of God, it was of Satan. It was a fallen angel. Satan fell, but you know, a third of the angels fell with Satan. And so this is a fallen angel, the messenger of Satan, or an angel of Satan. We call them demons. To buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So notice this was something sent from Satan, not from God. And the exalted above measure does not mean pride. I don't have time to get into all that. You can see that all through the Bible. But where Paul talked about this issue of pride and how he dealt with that already. God wasn't dealing with this. This is something Paul had already dealt with. But and so he said, I was given this thorn in the flesh. And the thorn in the flesh is a reference to a term used in the Old Testament about four times. I don't have all the references in front of me. I'm not teaching on the thorn in the flesh, so I don't want to spend time too much on this. But it's not a sickness or disease. Right. It's mentioned four times, I believe, four or five times in the Old Testament. Pricks in your eyes, thorns in your sides, thorns in the flesh. It mentions it different ways. And in every situation, and let me back up. In none of those situations is it a sickness or disease.
Right.
It's an Old Testament ideology. Is that the word? Am I using the right word? You know, it's a... Anyway, I got through high school, praise the Lord. But it's an Old Testament term, phrase, terminology, not literal. It's not something literal. You know, it's a little like we say today, it's raining cats and dogs. Well, that doesn't mean poodles and German shepherds and Siamese cats are falling out of the sky. No, it's just a terminology. And that's what pricks in your sides mean. He's not talking about, you go back and look at the context, he was referring to driving Canaanites all the way out of Canaan so they don't become pricks in your sides and thorns in your sides and pricks in your eyes and so forth and so on. He's not talking about a Canaanite sticking in their side. He's talking about just an irritation. And every time, in every case, it was not a sickness or a disease. It wasn't literal.
Right.
It was something that was a figment of speech referring to a person.
Yeah. Right.
Anybody ever had a person that's irritating in your life?
Well.
Don't look to your left or your right. We could spend much more time on that. And most of the body of Christ think he's talking about sickness or disease. He is not talking about sickness or disease. He said what it was. It was these demonic forces opposing him, the messenger of Satan. He didn't have a demon sticking in his side. Amen.
Right.
It wasn't a sickness or disease.
Right.
It was a personality. In this case, a person without a body.
Right.
It's not a human being person, but I mean a being without a body. Demons opposing him everywhere he went.
Right.
He said that. You don't have to make up an idea of what he's talking about.
Right.
He said it was a messenger of Satan.
Yes.
He didn't say it was sickness or disease.
Right.
Now, so, you know, people have heard all about Paul's thorn and Job's boils, and they think that that's verses that say sickness and disease, something that we have to go through or bear. It's amazing that the devil made sure that they heard about Job's boils and Paul's thorn, but he made sure they never heard about Jesus' stripes. By his stripes, we were healed.
That's right.
Amen. So, and we could spend another three services on that. But here's the point. Paul said there was this thing that was assigned to my life, this messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. If you look up exalted, it doesn't just mean, it's not just translated pride. It's translated to go beyond the usual mark. And God was the one exalting him through, it says in verse 7, through the abundance of revelations. Lest I should be exalted through the abundance of revelation. In other words, through the revelation. The revelation that Paul got was enabling him to go beyond the usual mark. Beyond where most Christians go. And do more and accomplish more and win more victories than most people win. And that's a whole other subject we could spend three services on. But here's what I wanted to get to. He said, God was through this revelation taking me further, and Satan was opposing me. You need to know Satan will oppose forward movement. Yes. He will oppose revelation. And then notice what he said. For this thing I besought the Lord three times. Thrice means three times. That it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now some people read that and they think God said no. That's not what God said. When Paul said, I want you to get this thing out of my life. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Wow. He's basically saying, Paul, what I have already... Well, let's keep on reading and you'll see it. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Amen. Most gladly, therefore, verse 9, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, not out of them, but in the midst of them. In reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Yeah. Oh my goodness. There's so much revelation here. I just want to basically talk to you about what he said there in verse number 9. I take pleasure in my verse number 9 says, I glory in my infirmities. I want to talk about overcoming your infirmities. Yeah. And when he said infirmities here, don't think sickness and disease.
Right.
That word infirmities is translated more times in the New Testament in weaknesses, not just, I could go through about two dozen scriptures where this verse is used and the word infirmities does not mean sickness and disease in the New Testament. It's used to talk about weakness of faith. It's used to talk about weakness of spirit. It's talking about sometimes weakness of mind, weakness of conscience, and sometimes, every now and then, weakness of body.
Right. Okay.
But a vast majority of the time, say vast.
Yes.
It's not talking about infirmities in the body.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Remember over there in Romans 8, for example, where I was going to go. We'll just refer to it right now. Yes. Likewise, Romans 8, 26, 27. Likewise, the spirit helps our infirmities.
Yeah.
And then he mentions one. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. That's an infirmity. That's not sickness or disease, is it? And we could go on and on. Like I said, I think I've got about two dozen verses. One day I took some time and just went through this word to just make sure I understood it. And I cannot, in good conscience even, cannot say there in 2 Corinthians 12, he's talking about sicknesses or diseases.
Right.
He's talking about, and this is the way the Strong's, there's two good, real good, two of the most popular Greek, because you remember the New Testament was written in Greek. It was translated over into English. You realize. And so the men that translated it into English translated it using the best words they knew how to bring the Greek meaning out. So sometimes they did fair job, sometimes not. And besides that, words in the English change meanings. The Bible doesn't change, but see, the King James was written in 1611, I believe. That's over 400 years ago. I mean, I know some words have changed meaning over those 400 years. It used to be a compliment to greet somebody and say, you're sure looking gay today. Don't say that today. My great grandmother, actually, whenever I remember, she was an elderly lady whenever we first met her. But we went over to her house one day, a little kind of an apartment up on the second floor. And we were there talking and or really listening. And when she saw us, she says, you kids sure are looking fat.
Right.
Well, you wouldn't greet somebody today and say, boy, you sure are looking fat. That's not a compliment anymore. It used to mean robust, healthy. You got good skin color. You look like you're healthy. You know, doesn't mean that anymore. Doesn't mean that. Words change meaning, not the Bible. Words change meaning. So back in 1611, when they said infirmities, people today think that's sickness or disease. That's not always, and most of the time, not sickness and disease in the New Testament. We use that today that way, but it's not, that's not the only thing he's talking about. So, you still with me this morning?
Yes.
And so, one of the things he's talking about in the Strong's and the Vines, those are two of the best Greek study helps you can find.
Yep.
The Strong's and the Vines. I've actually found another one called Complete Word Bible. What's it called? Complete Word Study Bible. Word Study Bible, I believe. But it's just really rich and really deep. But since I don't know the Greek, I depend on people who were Greek scholars.
Right.
You know? So I look up words to see what the original Greek actually said. And the Strong's and the Vines are two of my favorites. Listen to the Strong's and the Vines. The infirmities means in the Greek, weaknesses, want of strength, or feebleness, either of mind, soul, or body, or sometimes spirit. Or it can even talk about weakness of other things. The Bible talks about one place, the weakness of the law. You know, not even talking about sickness or disease. So it can refer to physical things, and every now and then does, but far more often, say far more often, this word is used to mean, according to the vines, inability to produce results. Oh, come on now. Somebody said, I need to change my tire. Can you pick the car up? Well, the fact that I can't pick it up is not a sickness or disease.
No, right.
But it is an infirmity.
Yes.
I don't have the physical ability. Some of you come on into church. It's okay. That's an inability to produce results. But really, most of the time, here Paul's talking about an infirmity. I glory in my infirmity. In other words, my inability in my own strength to accomplish the plan and will of God because of the opposition coming against me in the spirit realm.
Right. Amen.
Now listen to, that's the vines, an inability to produce results. Now the Strong's is my favorite. The vine says inability to produce results. The Strong says to do, inability in other words, to do things grand and glorious. How many of you know there's a lot of things in our lives that brings it a lot out of the realm of sickness and disease in our mind and brings it into the realm of infirmities of the flesh?
Yes.
Where we just don't cut it.
Come on, anybody?
Come on now! I'm telling you. Just if you're looking for grand and glorious results from me, or even God is looking for grand and glorious results from me in my ability.
Nope.
You're going to wait a long time.
Yeah.
And after that long wait, you're going to be sorely disappointed. Because here I am, God, I'm going to do it. Whoops. I got distracted by this. I'm off on some other plan. My thinking is wrong. My flesh said, I don't want to do that, so I'm going a different direction. I'm going to go ahead and preach. These weaknesses or inabilities are produced, in other words, inabilities to produce things grand and glorious, grand and glorious results. Paul produced some grand and glorious results, but it was in spite of him, not because of him. He was killing Christians. Oh, I'm going to preach. So this weakness or inability to produce grand and glorious results can be due to satanic opposition. We see that in this passage. It can be due to human frailty or weaknesses of mind, body, or faith. You realize our minds are still being renewed, and our wrong thinking sometimes can make us unable to do what God wants us to fulfill in this life. You remember King Saul? He was unable in his ability to do what God called him to do. And God said, all right, there's a company of prophets going up that hill. They're over there banging their tambourines. You read it over there in First Samuel, Second Samuel, maybe, wherever. But they're going to be banging their tambourines and they're singing and prophesying and moving with the Holy Ghost. You go join yourself to that company of prophets. And the Bible said that when he joined himself to that group, the Holy Ghost came on him and turned him into another man.
Glory to God.
God.
Now, what he couldn't do, now, where he was insufficient, where there was a place that was not filled in, God filled that up by filling him with the Holy Ghost and made an insufficient man able and capable. Paul said, God said to me, what I have given you already makes you able.
Yes.
Yes.
See, our job is to learn to tap into it.
Yeah.
And how do we do that? Verse 10 said, therefore, I am going to glory in my infirmity. Now, that looks like he's saying, I'm going to brag about how big my tests and trials are. I'm going to tell you about when you tell me yours, I'm going to tell you mine and try to outdo you and tell you mine are bigger than yours.
Nope.
That's not what glory in my infirmities means.
Nope.
Glorying in my infirmities sounds like this. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. Not, there's no period there. Through Christ. Who does what? Strengthens me.
Hallelujah.
The Amplified said infuses inner strength into me.
Yes, he does.
Hallelujah.
And the Amplified here, in the 10th verse, in the 9th verse, the Amplified says, because look at the King James, I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Glory in my infirmities, the Amplified says something like, so that the power of God can pitch a tent over me. Whew. In other words, I got power all around me.
Yeah.
I got the greater one in me.
Yes, sir.
To enable me.
Yes.
See, that's what he's there for, to help you, to enable you to do what you can't do in your own strength.
All right.
Yeah.
Anybody ever had a situation in your life, or have, don't raise your hand, where you keep tripping over the same thing, falling back into the same thing, the same fleshly bondage, same fleshly habit? You know what I'm talking about? The same distractions. The devil sends something. Everybody has areas where Satan knows that's an area of their weakness. I've never been tempted with a lot of things, alcohol and so forth, but other things. Watch out there. Every honest person knows where those things are.
Yep.
That's an infirmity.
Yes.
That's something where you're going to have to depend on his help, because that area of your life without his help is, let's put it in the way Miss Wiser doesn't like to hear it, ain't going to be grand and glorious.
Right.
It's going to be ugly.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And embarrassing.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Any other words we need to add to it? You know, it's going to be bad. I had a young man one time. Actually, God brought him here, and man, he was doing so many things in his life. Became like a son to me, Pastor Debbie, and he was doing fair, but I could tell there was something that just he kept getting tripped up on. I found out later it was video games that was keeping him. He was moving on and making much progress in many areas, but this one area, he just was lazy with his mind. He wouldn't control his thought life. And that'll manifest in different ways. Video games can be a way. You know, 3 hours on the internet can be a way. Just whatever pops up. Let's watch that. Let's watch that. Sometimes that's fine just to relax, but sometimes that's just laziness. Laziness in your mind. Well, that's what he was dealing with. He'd play video games for 6 hours a night. And so I started talking to him about it, how that, you know, he's going to have to put his foot to that, because that's an open door here to the enemy. Well, I could tell he wasn't progressing, and, you know, and so we were encouraging him. I mean, this congregation loved on him, and I mean, it was amazing how this congregation ministered to him, and we did as well. But he called me on the phone one day, and he said, I'm this, I'm that, I'm not what you think I am, I'm bound in this area of affliction, and he mentioned some perversions. And he said, this is who I am. Don't try to talk me out of it. And he started going down that path. I said, now listen to me, son. I said, don't talk to your dad like that. You know the truth. That's not who you are.
That's right.
And because we had a close relationship and I had already proved that I loved him, I got pretty straight with him.
Right.
I said, you come to the office and you see me. I said, I want to see you right now. He said, no. He said, I'm not who you think I am. I'm this, I'm that. And he kept on going on. And he said this. He made this statement to me. He said, I just can't live the way you live. The very first thing I said to him was, I can't either. That's the first thing came out of my mouth. I said, what you don't understand is, I can't either. What you're seeing in my life, because he could see victory, he could see control of my faculties, my flesh, and so forth. He got closer and he could see those things. I said, what you're seeing is not me.
That's right.
What you're seeing is the glory of God. I said, I can't live this way either. This, what you see in me, is what's available to any man. Because God is no respecter of persons. And he wouldn't hear it. He just said, no. I said, I want to see you. Come see me. He said, no, I don't even want to talk. And he wouldn't listen. Well, then he went out and accused us of all kinds of things. You know. Maybe, I don't know, doesn't matter. If anybody heard it, doesn't matter. I don't have to even defend myself. But the point is, he thinks that what he sees maybe in you, others in the congregation, or us, he thinks it's our doing. It's not our doing. We are his workmanship. Amen. Oh, yeah. Paul said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. He also said, our sufficiency is not of ourselves. Our sufficiency is of God.
That's right. Amen.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And when Paul said here, I glory in my infirmities, he's not talking about boasting about how many tests and trials he has. People do that, you know. In fact, that's what this young man was doing on the phone. He's boasting about the strength of the temptations and things that were opposing him. I don't boast in those things. I boast in the greater one who lives on the inside of me. That's what this means. I glory in my infirmities. He's saying, when I don't have the ability to do something or to live clean or to be holy or to live in victory or to overcome or to get up and go at it again, when I want to quit, when I don't want to keep going, when the pressure's strong, when people leave me, when this or that or the other, I don't have the strength in me to keep going. I don't have it. I can't. But I glory in the greater one living on the inside of me. He makes me able. I said, he makes me able. Hallelujah. So when I woke up this morning in prayer, I became aware of some weariness in some of us. Amen. Amen. I just praying this morning. I was going to preach another direction, but as I was praying this morning, I became aware there's some weariness. And this isn't an accusation. This isn't a condemnation. I'm just saying the Spirit of God wants to help us today. Amen. And so, wherever you are and you think, I just can't go another day. I just can't go on anymore. If I don't get something in service today, I'm done. Well, you're here and you're going to get something in service today. You can't do it in your strength. Peter, whenever he was supposed to be praying there in the garden, when Jesus was praying before he went to the cross, when he was supposed to be praying, was sleeping. Anybody notice that infirmity in your life? You know you should pray in the morning when you get up, but you're just too tired.
Come on.
We don't need to list all our infirmities, do we?
No, we don't.
We pretty much already all know what they are. Especially mine. I know mine. You know yours.
Yeah.
And so when we should be, Peter was sleeping when he should have been praying. And when Jesus came and said, you know, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Remember that? Notice what Jesus said. The spirit is willing, but the flesh, let's put it this way, has infirmities. Weaknesses. If you're going to trust your flesh, you know, because people want to, okay, I'm going to, with willpower, with just the grit of my willpower, I'm going to master this. Well, willpower will help. Don't misunderstand that. But how many times have we proven willpower is not enough? New Year's resolutions, how long do they last? February has never seen a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose 20 pounds this year, or I'm going to... And by January 7th, we're stuffing ourselves with pie and... Willpower's
not enough.
That's right. I'm trying to make it all where we all understand what we're talking about. We're just, Jesus said, the Spirit is willing. That's what we were saying on January 1st. Oh, yeah. Let's do this. It's willing, but the flesh. You cannot depend on the flesh for anything.
All right.
The flesh, guarding the flesh, is like the fox guarding the hen house. You and I are going to have to be Romans 8:13 people. We, Romans 8:13, you might want to turn there. We, through the Spirit, mortify the deeds of the body. God never asked you to mortify anything. He said, you're going to, don't misunderstand me, you have your part, but you're going to do it with the strength of the Spirit within you. Not your own strength. But in the strength of the inner man that the Spirit of God gives through the new birth. See, when you get born again, the Spirit of God came into your spirit.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And he's in there.
Yes, he is.
And he's not just a hitchhiker to go along.
No,
he's there to help you.
Yes,
he is. Thank you.
He's there to strengthen you. He's there to enable you to do what you can't do. Let's put it this way. What you are infirm to do.
Yeah.
You're not able to do.
Right.
Infirm means weak. That doesn't mean just sickness or disease. Can you see that now?
Right.
It just means you and your own ability can't do it.
Yes.
But you're not asked to do it in your own ability.
Right.
Amen. Let me tell you this. The first thing that you, in order to get to where you really in your heart want to be, you have to do, here's something you have to do first. You want to find out where the first thing you need to, where you need to start out on this is? Hallelujah.
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 Let me back up and say something. You can know what to do, but every time you go to do it without his help, you just can't accomplish it. Anybody, don't raise your hand and say, here's mine. No, I don't want to know yours. Anybody in your heart, between you and God right now, you can identify an area in your life. You know what to do. You know what God said. Like whenever I injured my back, I know what God said to me about why, how that door got opened. I know what he said. Know it. You couldn't beat it out of me for anything. I know what he said. About how to start my day and make sure my spirit stays fed. He reminded me of the last time it happened, and it was when I was real busy and wasn't feeding my spirit in the morning. You know, my physical strength doesn't come out of willpower or a good diet or something like that. I proved over and over again that if I don't start my days right on a regular basis, my body gets laid out on a slab almost, you know. Not the morgue slab, but you know what I mean. Just I got to lay it down in the bed for a few days.
Yep.
I know what he said to him. So, boy, whenever you're hurting, you're real diligent about it. You start getting on top of the pain, and you get up in the morning, and you get a little distracted here, and then you get a phone call there, and then this, and then that. Before you know it, you're back in that habit again. Why? You're dependent on your own. Well, I got this now, Lord. I'm doing good now. Yeah, thank you for telling me. I don't know. I'll get back to that, but you know. Woo, tell me I'm talking to somebody. You can know what to do, but there's things that they're just the flesh is weak. Remember, Jesus said the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So, there's a little shift we've got to make. Stop trying to do all these things in our own power. Amen. And get to the place where we're depending on the power of His might to do what we can't do on our own. So if you're in one of these places in some area or another, probably all of us are today, where you're just continually experiencing defeat in an area, whether it's some sort of lust of the flesh or some sort of, you know, you're just not doing what you know you should be doing, and just not, you know what I'm talking about. Then you got some bondage in the flesh or habit or something. Your wrong things are first, and you keep going back to those things, or you keep being distracted, or you keep falling back into unforgiveness, or we could go, how many things do we have to go over it for? We know what we're talking about. If you're in one of those places, the first thing you're going to have to do is forgive yourself. Number one, ask God to forgive you. Maybe I assume that's in place in your life. But number two, forgive yourself. Because, why do I say forgive yourself? Because you never are going to be able to master something if you're just beating yourself up about it. And you'll never tap into the power of God to overcome it while living in condemnation. Condemnation is one of the greatest faith thieves that there is. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The devil will help you beat yourself up. He's the accuser of the brethren. When you've done it again, failed again, come short again, you have to ask God to forgive you. But then you have to forgive yourself. Because the devil will, like I said, help you just beat yourself up. And your faith is worth nothing when you keep beating yourself up. You're going to have to do this by faith. Faith is for more than receiving healing. Faith is for reckoning yourself dead. Romans 6. Anybody ever notice that verse? Maybe we've got to preach a little more on this kind of thing more often. So, you'll never tap into the power of God to overcome it. See, you can't do this in your own strength. You're going to have to tap into the power of God. So you'll never tap into the power of God just condemned about it. Whenever he said, confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive your sin, cleanse you of all unrighteousness, you have to believe that he actually forgave you.
Yes.
But Pastor, he can't because I've done it so many times. Remember Jesus? How many times? Peter said, how many times shall I forgive my brother? 70, seven times? No, 70 times seven. And that's all in one day, by the way. Do you think he's asking us to do that and he won't do that for us?
Come on.
Are we more holy than he?
No. No.
Are we more forgiving than he?
No.
Is he asking us to be more forgiving than he is?
No.
So you got to get to the place where you know that he's not condemning you.
Yes.
Listen, if you're condemned, what you'll do is run from him rather than to him. And he's the only one that can help you. Somebody said, but I don't want to, I don't, well, he already knows it. He sees it. And has been seeing it. I'm just going to act like, no, he sees it. It's fully, all things are naked and open before the eyes of him with whom we have to do. That's a Bible verse. He knows it. And he's still wooing you.
That's right.
Because he knows you can't do it. He knows what you've been doing, but he also knows you can't do it in your own ability. So rather than condemn you and, you know, when you come, beat you, come to the throne of grace, he beat you. No, rather than do that, he woos you to come to the throne of grace because he knows you need his help. He knows without him, we can do nothing. Hallelujah. And he's forgiving. I said he's forgiving. This word infirmity even means, in the Strong's definition, it even means infirmity in the area of understanding something. Infirmity and of ability to do things great and glorious, it means infirmity to restrain corrupt desires or bear up under temptation or trial. I want you to see that understanding effect. There are things that we don't even know what keeps tripping us up. Why do I keep doing that?
Come on.
He knows.
Yes, he does.
I said, he knows.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you know that many things like overeating, and this is not picking on anybody, it's just things we understand. Overeating or immorality or affairs or things like this or, pornography addictions or things like that. Do you know those things are not just fleshly? They are often somebody trying to get an emotional need met. And God will show you where to get those needs met.
Yes. Yes.
How many of you know He's the source for everything you need?
Yes,
yes.
He is.
Yes,
hallelujah.
He is.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
I'm here to just share what the Lord put on my heart. I believe it's something that some of us need. Listen, it doesn't take me long, a little bit of spiritual weakness, and the old things start creeping back up.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Every honest person will say amen.
True.
We're not up by willpower. We're not up by grit or no, we're up because we trust the one who's greater in us to strengthen us, to enable to keep responding in the right direction rather than the wrong direction.
Yes. Hallelujah.
So many things are not a matter of accomplishing the victory. It's a matter of yielding to our victory. I don't know if you understand that. Yielding to the one who is your victory.
Right, right.
What yielding to the greater one in us does, it transforms our lives. Our lives become transformed to what we're not what we used to be.
That's right.
Not only in our spirit, but our lifestyle.
Yes. Yes.
Our habits, what we give our attention to, all these things. It's where the transformed life comes from. And what people see when they see a transformed life, which when I say transform, I'm talking about in this context, I'm talking about more Christ-likeness. You know, that's what really we need to be shooting for, and we need to be that's our target, is like Him, be like Him.
Yes.
We talk about it in other areas sometimes, but we're talking about it like in holiness this morning and things like that.
Yes, right.
Yep.
Or overcoming temptation and so forth. Transformed life is not, in other words, it's in our lives, but it's not from us.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
It's there and it's in our lives,
right,
but we're not the source of it.
Right.
That's right.
Yep.
That's right.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
it is something that He and His ability that we yielded to. Now, we have a part. Don't ever think, well, I'm just believing God to do all this in my life. No, you and I have a part. We have to yield to this. There needs to be, you know, the Bible said, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It doesn't say, just don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. No, He's saying, yield to this. Yield to the Spirit and you won't end up over here in the flesh. It's not a matter of, I can't do that. It's a matter of, I get to yield to the one who enables me not to do that. And so what people see in our lives, the transformation they see in our lives, we're not the source of it. We're just the container of it.
Right.
It's in our lives. It is a part of our life. It is real victory. It is not something that, you know, we just boast about, but there's no substance to it. We're really in bondage in secret behind closed doors. But we boast about that in Christ we're free.
Right.
No, there's real substance. I have real substance in many things, in the area of victory, in many things I used to be bound by. I got real substance to it. Amen. Nothing's going to last forever without my continued participation. But you know what I'm talking about. And so what people see in our lives whenever they see the transformation is one of the definitions of what the Bible calls the glory of God. Changed into the same image from glory to glory. Hallelujah. What many others struggle with, and I'm not putting them down. I have too.
Yes.
What many others have struggled with, we're living in victory over.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
Now, like I said, it's not automatic. I can't just coast for the rest of my life.
Right.
But the point is, I'm living in victory over so many things.
Yes.
And that's not of me.
Right.
We have to realize that's not of me. That's not of Brother Andre if he's living in victory. It's something that is in our lives, but it's not. We're not the source of it.
Right.
We're not the. And you got to get to that place where you recognize I can't. I have tried. I have tried, but I can't. Isn't that wonderful that you and I've got help? Well, Pastor, I got some of these infirmities you're talking about. Welcome to the human race. Now, we're not talking about whenever we were born again, our born again spirit was created perfect in the image of God. But our flesh trips us up and our unrenewed mind trips us up. And sometimes that inward man, before we get fed and really start growing, he's still weak. Weak in faith, so forth and so on. You understand what I'm talking about? So learn to come to him. Don't run from him. The wonderful thing is we've got Hebrews 4:15. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's compassionate. Because here's why. He was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it's like where every cell of his body wanted to recoil against the crucifixion. That was the will of God for him. Somebody said, well, is that the will of God for me? No, he was our substitute. Every core of his being, every cell wanted to revolt and say, I do not want to go to that cross. And remember, he was sweating great drops of blood, resisting the temptation in the garden. The Bible says that he has been there resisting temptation. That's why he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's gone through it. He never sinned. But none of us can say we've never sinned. We went through it and happily yielded, you know. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Later in prayer. Oh, yeah, Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. Lord, that grieved you. You didn't like that, did you? He says, no, I'm holy and I don't like fellowshipping with that. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not preaching over anybody's head. I mean, we understand. So Jesus is touched. I like that. That word touched with the feeling of literally means in the Greek compassionate. It's words that form the word compassion in the Greek. So he's compassionate. So that being the case, don't run from him. He has pity. The word compassion means pity. It means mercy. Amen. So you're not going to encounter condemnation when you come to him. You're going to encounter mercy. Amen. I'm telling you, if you really believe that, you'll run to him every single time. Amen. Humbly. With humility. And reverence. But not afraid. Because you know he's going to receive you. When you come with a contrite heart, the Bible uses that term, contrite heart, and you come to receive mercy, the Bible said, a humble and contrite spirit, he will in no wise despise. Amen. You come humbly and say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. It was ugly. I hated it. I didn't like myself for doing it. You know, and you start. And I'm here to repent. I'm here to say I'm sorry. He puts his big arms around you and says, listen, I'm compassionate on you. I know you can't do it on your own. Come here. Gives you a big hug and takes you in. I heard a story, heard a testimony of a man. He was an atheist. Had a praying mama. A real praying mama. And he was just living for the flesh, living in sin, you know, all that means. We all know what all that means. And he was out some island of the world somewhere. He had a lot of money and spent a lot of time out just sailing around. And he was out in some island somewhere and was deep sea diving or whatever you call that, and was stung by a jellyfish. Actually, I take that back. Stung by four jellyfish. Box jelly or whatever they call it. Real deadly, real. It's one of those you don't live for, you, most likely with one sting, you probably won't live for an hour. Just one jellyfish. But he was stung by four. And he knew he'd been scuba diving before, and he knew all about this, and how, he was trying to avoid, you know, ever getting stung. He knew they would, that the venom could kill you. Well, he comes up out of the water real quick, knowing that basically he's a dead man. With his arm starting to be paralyzed. You know what I'm talking about? And so they got him up out of there, and he could barely talk, you know, hyperventilating kind of thing. And he finally got it out. They rushed into the shore. And he found out later that his mom was in New Zealand and had a vision. And Jesus appeared in front of her and said, "Your son is dying. Pray right now." He's an atheist. Pray right now. And she hit her knees right immediately, because there's not time here to say, "Okay, I'll do that later."
No.
She hit her knees praying and started pouring out her heart to God and saying, "I bind the devil from taking him to hell. I bind whatever's trying to take his life." She didn't know the facts. She didn't even know where he was. But she's a Holy Ghost woman, a godly woman, and she started praying. And this man, he talked later to his mom, didn't know all this, but he's dying, laying in the boat. They're taking him in to try to get him to the ambulance and hospital, they're radioing and so forth. He's on the way into the boat, and he has a vision. And he sees, I don't remember all the details, the Lord said some things to him and said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life," or something, and said some things about, told him how to pray. The Lord appeared to him, told him. And he said, "Well, I don't even believe in you." He said, but Jesus said, "I am the way." That's the result of the praying mama.
Yeah.
That's the mercy of God.
Yeah.
And the man said, "Well, I see you. I believe you. I receive you. Forgive me. And I receive you into my life." And went to actually got him to the hospital. It was kind of amazing. And in the hospital, he died. And he went up to heaven. Actually, first of all, he went to hell. And then a voice came out and rang out and said something. And he went through a tunnel and went up to heaven. Because the devil thought he had him, but he didn't. And God made him go the right direction. And he stood before Jesus in heaven. He's dead in the flesh. Stood before Jesus in heaven. I don't know why I'm telling this testimony. Somebody needs to hear it. And he was so aware of the love. He said the first thing that hit him was love. And the man said in his heart, he didn't say it out loud, he said in his heart, "He can't love me like that. I'm full of sin." And then peace. He said these things started hitting him, a wave of love. Then peace. And then joy. He said it hit him like different waves. And he said, "This is amazing. Where am I?" He didn't even know where he was. And there's Jesus standing in front of him. And he said his faith was glowing, and these things were coming off of Jesus. And he said, "Jesus, I didn't believe in you." And he said, "I am the way." He said it again. And he said, "You can't love me. That's not right. I've done so many things." And he said, Jesus said to him, "But you prayed and said in the boat, you received me, forgive me." And he said, "So I washed you. You're clean." He said, "I've never experienced this kind of love. I don't even understand what this is." Jesus stepped aside like that, and he could see into eternity. He saw heaven. He saw the flowers. He saw the people. He saw the angels. And he said to the man, he said, "Do you want to come? Or do you want to go back?" He said, "I want to come." He said, "You can if you want." But he said, and then the man said in his heart, "Wait a minute. My mom down there is praying, and she, if for all she knows, I went to hell." He said, I know that would break her heart. She doesn't think her son went to heaven. So he said, "Let me go back. I want to tell my mama that I received Jesus." Jesus stood over in front of the door. How many of you know he is the door? He stood over in front of the door again. And he said to the man, "Lean your head to the side." It was kind of weird. I didn't understand what it was. "Lean your head to the side." He leaned his head to the side. And all of a sudden he woke up and he's on the slab in the morgue. And that's the position he's in. He's leaning to the side. He said some doctor's down there with his foot digging in it with a scalpel. He said he opened his eyes and looked at the doctor, and the doctor hit the ceiling. He said, he had been dead for, I don't know, an hour or two or something like that. Some nurses were standing to the side, and he looked at them and they went, "Ah!" He said, trying to get out of the room, they ran into each other. Oh, that's fun. And he said, on the slab, he's laying there. He's in the morgue, you know, chilling the body down. He's laying there and he's paralyzed from the neck down because that poison's still in his body. He said, Lord, I just saw you. He said, heal me. If you love me like you said, heal me. He said, within an hour, all his feeling came back and he was completely healed.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. That's mercy. I said, that's mercy. Well, how about you? That's the kind of mercy you'll encounter. Just call out to him. Bow your head and close your eyes. Father, we've gone a little different direction than what I thought. Because of the wooing of the Spirit, I believe, in lives in this auditorium this morning. There are many, Father God, I believe that are here this morning that you were speaking to me about in prayer this morning. They've become weary. They need some strength. They need something this morning to help them to get past where they are. They're getting ready to quit. Father, whoever they are, right now, I pray like that interceding mama for that man stung by that jellyfish. I pray an infusion of the strength of heaven into their spirits where they're seated right now. Hallelujah. If you want to receive that, lift up both of your hands. Just say, I receive what is coming my way right now. Hallelujah. Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. So right now, you're in a position in your own ability, you're weak. Receive the strength of heaven into your being, the spirit of strength, the spirit of might. Go into their being. I pray not a one of them will ever quit. Father, I come on behalf of these. I stand on behalf of these against the enemy who's trying to wear them down, trying to wear them out, trying to get them to back off and to not go through with what you're telling them to do. I stand against you, Satan. You get out of their life. You've not just come against them. You've come against all of us. Satan, you get out of their life. I bind you now. That harassment, that torment, that wearing down right now stops. And Father, the infusion, just like you said, a tint of your glory, come over every person that's raising their hand, that's receiving this where they are. Father, that tint now comes over them, an infusion of power, an infusion of might into their being. Father God, they can't do it in their own strength. But now you're here to help. Hallelujah. 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 Just begin. If you just begin, like Paul said, I glory in my infirmities. Right now, start boasting, greater is he that's in me. Start saying something. Greater is he that's in me than he that's opposing me, than he that's in the world. I can do all things. I can. Yes, I can. Through him, through Christ who strengthens me, I stand and I'm strengthened. I receive the strength of heaven. Father, you said I'm to acknowledge in Philemon, acknowledge every good thing that's in me in Christ Jesus. I acknowledge the greater one. I acknowledge he's infusing strength into my being right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What I have not been able to do, I depend on you to enable me to do it. Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Father. It's flowing in me now. It's flowing in me now. I'm saying the right things. I will not speak weakness any longer. I say, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I say what Joel said. Let the weak say they are strong. Today I'm strong. I'm strong, not in my might. You said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Today I say that with my mouth. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I can do this by the help of the greater one within me. Hallelujah. I'm not going to take those thoughts anymore that say I can't. I can't obey. I can't fulfill the plan of God. I can't resist. I can't this. No, those words no longer come out my mouth. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Salahaha, Mashakiah, Mashakiah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All across this room, strength going in. Strength in your inner man. In the name. 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 Hallelujah. Father, I receive cleansing. Some of us need to receive this. I receive cleansing by the blood of Jesus. Washing me right now. Cleansing me right now. From all sin, from all failures, in the name of Jesus, I repent. I turn. Father, I thank you that you're faithful to forgive me and to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. And not only that, Father, right now, I forgive myself. I forgive myself. I'll not live under that cloud of heaviness or condemnation. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now say, I'm clean. I'm clean, clean, clean. Hallelujah. The past is gone. Praise you, Father. Remember that vision Dr. Dufresne had? He was standing in front of the mirror. I think he was shaving or something one morning. He started thinking of all his failures, all his faults and blemishes and weaknesses and so many things. And he started getting down. He started crying, I think, actually. Started to get down on himself. I've got so many faults and flaws. And he said, he was looking at himself in the mirror. And he started crying. And the Lord said, look again. And he looked and he saw a bust of himself, like a rock, you know, bust, like they would make some famous person make a rock bust. He said he saw it again, and there was cracks all through the bust of his head and shoulders. And he said, that's what I'm talking about, Lord. I've got so many flaws and failures. And the Lord said, look again. And the blood of Jesus started coming down over that image of him and filled in all the blemishes. That's what you just got. You just received. Hallelujah. 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 Stand up and start praising him this morning. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus said, I will not leave you orphans. I'm sending the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to leave you orphans. We're not in this on our own.
Amen.
And here's another thing. Those things were Satan's opportunity. But guess what? The door just got shut to Satan. Because of the cleansing of the blood. Ha, ha, ha. Woo! Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise be to the Lord. Praise be to the Lord. Psalm 118 says this is the Lord's doing. And it's marvelous in our sight. This is the way we are clean, the way we're free, the way we're victorious is the Lord's doing. And that's why it's marvelous. It's not something of our own ability. It's of His ability. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you get any help? Raise your hand if you got some help this morning. I got some help. I got some help. Amen. Don't ever let yourself get separated from fellowshipping with other believers, coming to church, and being in the presence of God like you experience here, because you look around and you think everybody else has got it together. Listen, we all clean up nice, but there's still things where still need to tap into His help in. Amen. So don't ever let the devil say, I'm not going back there. I've failed, missed it so many times. That's exactly what he wants you to do. So he can get you weak or weaker and isolated. That's not where you want to be. Not out there on your own. Come on and jump in the middle. Like Paul, like God said to King Saul, you need to jump in the middle of a bunch of Holy Ghost people. Yeah, glory to God. Jump right in the middle of us. It might be you this Sunday. Next Sunday it might be the rest of us that need all the fellowship and the strength of the rest of the body. But I'll tell you, this is the place to come and be. Not out there, you know, saying, well, I've missed it so many times, I'm just going to quit. No, say no, 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 no. Amen. Praise God. Give God a shout this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. You got anything? Praise be to God. Praise be to God.
Glory to God.
Just dip. If you don't have something, dip. You got something.
Hallelujah. Can I get the key of C?
Praise
I
the Lord.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.
Yes, I can.
Because I am free. Yes, I am free. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Because I am free. Yes, I am. I can do all things. I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me. Because I am free. Yes, I am free. I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me. Because I am free. Yes, I am. Hallelujah. 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 Strengthens me, 'cause I am free. Yes, I am free. I can do all things to Christ who strengthens me, 'cause I am free. Yes, I am. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Spirit yield to victory. The blood has washed you and made you clean. Yield to the Spirit, yield to victory. The blood.
Natural mind says, what does yielding to this have to do with me being free in another area over here? Remember what we said, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Practicing yielding to the Spirit is how you stop yielding to the flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Some of us yielded, some of us are still thinking about it. Amen. What that does is it develops a habit, a pattern of yielding to the wrong things. Develop a new habit of yielding to the Spirit. Amen. Ha ha ha. I'm free. I have the victory. Hallelujah. The blood has covered and washed me. Amen, amen, amen. I'm so satisfied on the inside. I believe God had a plan He wanted to accomplish. I believe it's been accomplished this morning. Amen. There's a few that haven't responded to it, but that's not our part. Our part is doing what He told us to do. Amen. Anybody want to respond before we go? You know, we're fuller than we were when we came in. We're fuller of the one who enables us to overcome infirmities.